Oh, yes. Well, can you... it's okay. I'll just go ahead.
Remember, girls, we have to do a lot of talking.
Your feminine way of looking at things.
So can you just be friends?
Oh, wow.
Who am I?
I don't know if I know how to navigate that. Let's see.
And now, Passport.
That's Passport.
Passport to Identity.
Yeah, the Passport to Identity.
Sounds like loads of fun.
Welcome to Passport to Identity.
Oh, yes, we've covered a lot of ground.
Hi, it's Michelle again, and this is session 5 in Passport to Identity. Can you believe it? We're almost to the end of our time together. There seems to be some water in my eye.
Here, have a tissue.
For our last bit together, we're going to think through, where do you go from here? What's your mission? And by that we mean, what is God's unique calling on your life? How has He uniquely designed you to accomplish His plan on earth? He made you different from anyone else for a reason, and we want to help you discover what He has in store for you so that you can be living it now.
You know, very often we look at the teen years as being dark and undoable, and we have this survivalist mentality. We just hope we can get through, not drug addicted, not in jail, and we still have our sanity.
This is author Paul Tripp.
And I think the opposite is true. I think these are years of unique opportunity, greater responsibility, wider geography, wider circle of friends and responsibilities. It's a time of wonderful, wonderful opportunity.
The temptation, I think, for a lot of teens is to see these years as a time to just coast, get through school, maybe have a little part-time job, but otherwise, kind of passively wander through life.
Well, my parents made it very clear as I entered the teen years that the teen years were not a vacation from responsibility.
This is Alex Harris. He and his brother Brett wrote a book called Do Hard Things because they wanted to challenge teens, like yourself, to take on big dreams. And here's the thing. They were in their teens when they wrote the book.
The teen years were a time when I could accomplish something important. They were not a time to just goof off and have fun before real life started after high school or after college or after you're married with kids. You know, life starts now. You're living life right now and you're making decisions and you're gaining momentum and you know, this is the launching pad and you're going to decide right now what direction your life is going to take. You know, the Bible says, if you're faithful in the little things, I'll put you over greater things. And that's not a call to a boring life. That's a call to a more and more exciting life. And the earlier you start developing that responsibility, the earlier you start being faithful, the sooner those bigger opportunities come along.
God has a unique calling for your life, and He wants to use you in amazing ways right now. Not 5 years from now or 10 years from now, right now. Even when you're young.
Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example. That was something that's always inspired me.
This is a story of a group of girls I know who aren't waiting until they're older to be used by God.
A couple of us decided we wanted to do something big for God.
We just didn't really know what we wanted to do. And then when we heard about the water crisis and learned more about it, we knew that's what God was calling us to do.
We knew we wanted to do wells, and we thought that would be easier to figure out how to do as younger girls.
Well, when we first started, we realized that instead of like $700, a one well actually costs $5,000.
And so we got pretty overwhelmed. We thought it would take our whole high school years to be able to raise one well.
One of the moms, when we told her, she honestly thought to herself that they are never going to be able to do this and I want to be supportive of them, but I honestly don't think that they're going to be able to do that.
So things were looking kind of impossible. But then God opened a door for the girls to share their vision at a conference. And that's when things changed.
And we were like, oh, we're probably going to raise like $100. It was just like amazing to see when we counted up all the money that God had raised $6,000. We were like, oh, we raised a whole well in one day. That was the coolest thing.
It just encouraged us that we don't need to stop there. And so far we've dug 3 wells in India, Honduras, and Ghana, Africa. And this time we actually get to go on the trip and dig the well ourselves.
Seeing how God's light through us will affect them in their everyday lives is just the most amazing feeling.
You don't have to wait till you grow older to do something for God, and you can do something now.
Wow. I hope that you were encouraged by listening to those young ladies. Because at your age, God can and will use you. He has opportunities waiting just for you. It may not be digging a well, but I encourage you to step out. It might be cooking dinner one night a week for your family, or being a junior counselor for summer camp, maybe helping to organize the missions trip at church, and other things. This way, you'll be preparing for what He has for you in the future. And we'll spend some more time talking about this, about how you can get a better picture of what God has in store for you. But right now, we want to kind of step aside for a moment and talk about a few things that can derail you in your pursuit of God's call in your life. These are things that, if allowed to, will take over your life. They'll rob and redefine your identity. Dennis and Barbara Rainey called these traps in Passport to Purity. And there's a lot of different traps that can ensnare you. And we're not going to try to cover them all. We're just going to focus on 5 of them here. And you can jot these down on page 71. And they are obsessing over boys, abuse of alcohol and drugs, self-harm, how we spend our time on social media, and then there is that small little thing that turns into a big thing. And we're going to talk about it first. It's our desire to fit in. Because, hey, everyone likes to be liked and accepted.
Do we have any chocolate? I need chocolate.
Okay, everybody. I got a giant jar of Nutella with spoons for everyone and some salsa, too.
I totally thought you were about to say, and some salsa to go with it. I was going to be like,
ew.
Girl, give me some of those chips.
Hey. Leave some for the rest of us.
I couldn't wait for this week to end. I mean, hashtag TGIF. Am I right?
Who says hashtag in real life?
Hashtag I do, okay?
Hey, I just gotta say, you're my best friends.
Aww.
I mean it. Anyway, I'm ready for a little truth or dare.
Good idea.
I'm game.
Yeah, you're on.
Ooh, is that a volunteer?
Ooh.
You first, Ash. Truth or dare?
Dare, babe.
Okay, let's get started. But I'm not gonna go easy on you.
Ooh.
I happen to know of a little cabinet way up there in the kitchen with a lot of pretty bottles in it. And I'm thinking, Ashley can't down 3 shots of the hard stuff.
Wait, what? Are you serious? I'm only 16.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, come on, Mother Ashley. Don't be a prude. It's not like we're driving somewhere.
I know we're not driving anywhere, but still, it just sounds lame. Right, Mom?
Yeah. I mean, don't look at me.
Wow, have you ever heard of a buzzkill?
Yeah, we're just chillaxing after a week of tests. And someone needs a little glass of something even more than the rest of us. So come on, this is truth or dare. I'm daring you.
Yeah, I know. I just didn't have stealing liquor from your parents on my to-do list today. I mean, am I really the only one who thinks this is a dumb idea? Mall?
Oh, please, Molly. You gonna be a little angel, too?
Can't handle the idea of a grown-up drink.
Molly, bail me out here.
What would you do? If you were Molly, would you stand up for Ashley? Even if it meant being called a prude? Why don't you take a few seconds and turn to page 72. and check the box of what you'd do. We'll let the music play, and we'll be right back.
Fitting in is a... I don't think anybody really fits in.
This is my friend Bethany. You know, I've seen women of all ages become consumed with fitting in, wanting acceptance, and doing almost anything to get it.
Lose weight, they'll do their hair, they'll buy a certain brand of clothes, or label themselves as something that they're not. There's really not a limit on what girls will do to feel a part of the group.
This need of acceptance and fitting in can get us into trouble, especially when it becomes all-consuming. You know, one of the things I've learned that is really important is just to stop and ask myself, why? Why am I trying so hard to fit in? If you're doing things to get in with the cool crowd, things that maybe are against your morals, then maybe you don't need to be hanging out with those people. There really is a hollowness to striving so hard to be liked. Maybe you're trying to impress the wrong people, and maybe the people who accept you are already around you. It's only natural to want to be accepted. And let's face it, rejection is hard to deal with. But here's an amazing part of the gospel. You are accepted by the God who created the universe. That kind of makes being accepted in gym class seem slightly less significant, doesn't it? So fitting in is one trap we fall into, one way we can get derailed. And the next one on our list is the issue of obsessing over boys and where that often leads physically. Dr. Meg Meeker says at least 40% of young women in the U.S. have unwanted sex.
And the reason they say so is because they don't want to hurt their boyfriend's feelings.
And one of the ways that I've seen girls try to fit in is to do whatever their boyfriend wants.
These are the nice girls, the good girls, who know better, who have some values, but they are not assertive. They're too timid to say, oh no. And these are the girls that I worry about. These are the good Christian girls who really don't know how to say no because no one has taught them.
For some, the desire to please the boys causes them to do things that they otherwise wouldn't. And sometimes pleasing the boys isn't the reason the girl is having sex. I've heard some girls say they didn't mean to go so far, but one thing led to another and another and another, and now they just can't seem to stop and, well, you get it. So how can you avoid getting trapped by this temptation? Here's a few practical things. For instance, when he's dropping you off, maybe set a time limit on how long to stay in his car. Don't lay on a couch together watching a movie. Or always hang out together with others around. Because you probably won't be tempted to take off your clothes if it's dinner time and you're sitting in a crowded restaurant.
And then there was like spaghetti.
No, that
And you know, it's not always sleeping with the guys that intertwines our lives with theirs. Sometimes the issue is that we put guys on a pedestal and just obsess about them. We spend too much energy thinking about them because there are plenty of girls who don't give in to sexual temptation but are still what's known as boy crazy. In fact, Paula Hendricks wrote a book called The Confessions of a Boy Crazy Girl, and she came up with a list of questions to help you self-diagnose if you're boy crazy. And you might want to follow along on page 73 and put a check next to any of these that apply to you.
In a room full of people, do you always know where he is? Are boys your number one favorite topic of conversation with your friends? 3, do you often dress to catch a guy's attention? Do you replace one crush with another almost as soon as you realize that the first relationship isn't going anywhere? Have you asked a guy out? That's the only one I haven't done. Do you have your eye on more than one guy at a time? Do you believe that you would finally be completely happy if you had a boyfriend? Do you change your schedule or plans in order to bump into him? When you're relaxing with a good book, movie, or song, do you pick those that are filled with ooey-gooey romance? If you journal or pray, are your pages or prayers filled with thoughts and requests about guys? Are you always trying to figure out which guys like you? Would you be willing to get a total makeover for a guy? And not the hair, makeup, new clothes kind, but the I will change who I am at my core if that's what it takes to get you kind.
Okay. How many did you answer yes to? All of them? Yeah. You've heard me talk about how I've been there too. But you know, it really doesn't matter the number. Here's what I want you to think through. Do you spend more time dwelling on him, the guy, or him, God? With all that we've learned this weekend, who should control your thoughts? Where should our minds be? I don't think I need to answer that question, because you already know, don't you? Okay, now that we have guys out of our system, yes, I know that will never happen, but pretend you do, and let's switch gears and talk about another thing that can derail you from God's call on your life.
I drank a lot in a lot of ways now that I look back, and I think to hide the guilt that I felt and the fear of dying, the fear of going to hell, the fear of all that came with running from the Lord, because I knew the truths of Scripture.
This is my friend Courtney again.
Like, I had Christians who lived on my dorm floor, and I would mock them and think, that life is so ridiculous. And I drank to mask that. I drank to get rid of that that guilt. So if I was drunk, I wasn't thinking about how guilty I felt.
And it was around this time that her parents made the hard decision to cut her off. And then she broke up with her boyfriend, which left her all alone. Then ended up in the hospital with mono. She really hit bottom. And that's when her dad stepped in to help. And she started to want to change because of how miserable she felt. Yet, Courtney was still struggling.
And so in the midst of all this, I'd still been hanging out with this other guy from class. I was still promiscuous. I still really liked boys and liked messing around with guys. And but I remember telling him, I'm not gonna sleep with you. Like, I decided I'm not gonna do that anymore. Like, that was my standard. And I went to a fraternity party with him and got way too drunk, like I did on a number of occasions, and woke up next to him one morning and was like, what did I do? Like, that was the one thing I wasn't going to do. And dang it, like, what did I do? And I felt this overwhelming guilt. And the only way I could explain it was that the Lord finally was like, today's the day you're going to feel guilty for something.
Oh, that is a hard story to hear. Courtney went through a few really hard years of pain, and she didn't have to. She did have a choice. Did you pay attention to how these traps are intertwined? Alcohol even caused her to do things that she didn't want to do anymore, like having sex. She really found herself enslaved to alcohol. It was controlling her life. You know, there's this verse that talks specifically about that. It's in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. I love this verse because it really helps address why we need to be careful with alcohol. Here it says that whether or not something is lawful, meaning even if you're old enough to drink, even if it's legal, you still need to watch out for how easily alcohol can take control and reshape your identity. Because a number of people who drink struggle to keep these in check. Now, not everyone, but many do. So the question becomes, is alcohol, or anything for that matter, mastering you, exercising control over your life? It goes back to what we talked about in session 3. What is your governing authority in life? What will rule over you? There's a likely chance that some of your friends in the next few years will be, and may already be, experimenting with drinking or maybe even smoking marijuana or other kinds of drugs. And some of them will be encouraging you to do so as well. They'll want you to join them, to fit in, as we've already talked about. But here's what I want you to hear. You can make the right choice when someone says, come on, don't be a prude. You don't have to give in. What you get from the feeling of intoxication and fitting into the crowd who likes you mainly because you're getting drunk, what you get, is that worth rejecting God's call on your life to pursue purity and godliness? Will you trust that He knows what's best for you in all situations? I want to challenge you to make up your mind right now that you're not going to experiment with drugs or alcohol. It's not profitable for you, and it's more likely you can be mastered by them if you experiment when you're young. All right, so far we've covered fitting in, boys, and alcohol. Now here's another trap that many gals your age face, control issues. Remember the young lady in session two, the one who compared herself to her friends, started counting calories, and ended up in a hospital? And we know it was a bigger ordeal than how I just quickly explained it, but she struggled with an eating disorder, which is just one type of control issue. Now, here's another control issue that is hurting more teens than you may think.
2 million Americans right now are involved in cutting self-mutilating behaviors. And almost all of those started when they were adolescents, and almost all of them are girls.
This is Sharon Hirsch. She wrote a book called Mom, I Hate My Life. And she's had a lot of experience talking with girls who resort to what's called cutting. Maybe you or someone you know has struggled with this. It's where a girl will take some sharp object and literally cut herself.
And I have seen girls who have carved words like ugly or bad into their arm or their legs. I have seen girls who have just made many, many slashes or taken a razor blade and done fine, intricate designs on their upper arm or their leg. And I have come to call these markings the hieroglyphics of hurt. Because what I know is that there are several things going on in the heart and mind of this girl. That she is feeling like she doesn't belong. She is probably feeling or experiencing some loss. And that she is feeling that there is not someone who it is safe for her to express her emotions with. And when girls cut themselves, they are really trying to make sense of the emotional pain inside by carving or cutting themselves and experiencing some pain. But then they also experience relief, kind of a numbing. And that's why this behavior is so dangerous, because it literally becomes addictive.
Did you catch that? Sharon says that a lot of times cutting is triggered by some kind of loss in a girl's life. And it's something that you need to watch out for.
It seems like girls in particular are vulnerable to the impact of loss. And that loss could be the loss of being a little girl. A lot of girls resist that growing up and developing a female body and the responsibilities, and that's where eating disorders can come into play. It can be the loss of a family in a broken family. It can be the loss of your middle school life going into high school. And so there are many losses that sometimes go inward, and girls don't know how to deal with the pain. And that's where cutting or eating disorders come into play. Because often girls who cut also have eating disorders. Both of these behaviors give girls an idea, okay, I can control something.
Wow, that's a huge insight. So often when we do things that we otherwise would never think of doing, like cutting ourselves or starving ourselves or even something like manipulating a boy. We're tempted to do these things because we want control. It's kind of a desperation move where we feel like life is out of control, so we need to control something, anything. And you've got to watch out for that. This is why it's so important to remember your identity as a child of God. Whenever things feel out of control and you feel desperate, remember that God is in control, always. And we have a list of some reasons why young women sometimes struggle with this. It's on page 75.
maybe I can conclude with a passage of scripture that I conclude with in the book, Mom, I Hate My Life. It comes from a young king in Israel's time who was also feeling very overwhelmed. And as he cried out to God, he said, "Oh God, we have no strength against this vast army that is surrounding us, but our eyes are on you." And I love God's answer to him. God said, "Jehoshaphat, do not be afraid or discouraged because the battle is not yours. It is mine."
If these are things that you or someone you know is dealing with, I can't think of a better person to talk with than the woman sitting next to you. And we'll give you a chance to do that here in just a little bit. So hang on. Okay, we've got one more trap to talk about here. It might hit a little close to home. This one is affecting nearly all of us. And before I mention it, let me just say it's not evil in and of itself. But it has a huge potential to become a trap. And I'm talking about social media. The thing about social media is that it has so many different ways it can derail you. And the first, it can just waste time.
I spend more time on my phone than I should.
Do you check it while you're in church?
No.
Do you know people who do?
Oh, yes. There was this guy sitting in front of me in church a couple weeks ago, and he was like on Facebook, and he was like 50. Like, what are you doing? I was thinking, I'm 18 and I'm taking notes like a responsible adult. What are you doing?
And another danger of social media is becoming overly attached to it.
I feel lost without my phone. Like, it's weird, but it gets you out of awkward situations. It keeps you entertained. It's kind of like a security blanket.
Yeah, you know I'm guilty too. Just this weekend, my sister-in-law called me out for it.
What?
What?
If you find yourself with sweaty palms at the thought of going a few hours without checking your phone, or maybe if you can't make it through a conversation over coffee with a friend without going online, then that's unhealthy.
Okay, I'm not like addicted, but like...
Yeah, I mean, I might be on it all the time, but that doesn't mean I'm addicted. Hold on 1 second.
And another danger of social media is finding your value in your social media status.
I've got a 14-year-old daughter myself, and just a few days ago, I'm sitting in the living room and I hear her scream in her bedroom.
This is Brian Houseman again, and you might remember him from earlier this weekend.
And so I get up and I ran in there to find out what's going on because, you know, I'm the Superman of the family. I'm going to fix everything. And I get into her bedroom and she's flashing her cell phone at me and she goes, "Oh my gosh, Dad, look at me. I got my first photo with 100 likes on Instagram." You know, and she's going bonkers because she got her first triple digit photo, you know. But what happened was then after she got one, then a few minutes later, she said, "I wonder how long it'll take me to get another one." Because that feeling of satisfaction is gone in less than a moment. Is you find someone that gives you that sense of fulfillment, and you think, "I got to have that same high over and over and over again." And so then you find yourself beginning to say things or do things online with technology that you never dreamed that you would have done.
Yeah, and watch out. Because you start off with one picture and it gets you likes. And the picture is fine at first, but I think a lot of girls, in order to keep getting more attention, they let their standards slip over time. And before long, they're posting totally immodest pictures of themselves and saying totally inappropriate things online. They do desperate things because they find their value and their worth and their identity in social media. So let's pretend you're thinking, "I'm addicted. How do I stop?" Okay, I realize you may not be saying that, but
How should we use our phones and social media? And we have some of these ideas listed on page 76. Now, don't hyperventilate on me, but why don't you turn off your phone overnight? Or turn off the notifications on your apps? Or eat breakfast and get ready for the day before checking the latest? Maybe take a day each week, or 4 hours straight each week, and use that time reading a book, talking with your family, exercising, studying, or trying something new that doesn't require the internet. And just a word of warning, please be careful what you post, because once it's posted, it's there for the whole world to see, and pretty much forever. And also, be careful with who you interact with. I've had several young friends get caught up with a new friend and find out that he's twice their age and not looking for a friend, but much more. So be careful. And if your mom is checking your accounts, well, that really is a good thing because it shows you how much she loves you. And remember that successful independence thing? Well, she's helping you get there. She's helping you learn wisdom online. All right, so we've covered some of the things that can derail you as you pursue God's call in your life. And next, we're going to talk more specifically about that call, your purpose in life. But first, we've got another check-in for you on page 77. So pause the audio, and we'll see you back in a little bit.